I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Vicki Peterson and John Council. Their new album, Long After the Fire, receives its official release on April 18th. It's a collection of songs written by John's late brothers, Bill and Barry Council. Both Vicki and John come from musical families, with John cutting his teeth in the Councils in his pre-teen years, and Vicki and her sister Debbie founding the Bangles. Vicki and John have been married for over two decades and joke that they've only spent about two of those years playing music together. We talked about their family, the legacy of the Councils, and John's ongoing emotional connections with his brothers through their songs. Vicki and John recently spoke about Long After the Fire and much more from their home in Southern California. That's on Into Music, coming up now. Where did this kind of start?
Always wanted to do this. Always wanted to record some of my brother's songs. I'm a fan of Bill's big time. His Blue Shadows, Codependence, anything he's ever done. Bill was our Brian Wilson, basically, on the Councils, from the Council band. And Barry was a prolific writer at a very early age. I used to write with him, because I was making faces in the mirror while Barry was writing.
As a teenager.
Yeah, we shared a room, and he, at a very early age, displayed writing incredibility, I'll call it. And so I was in the Beach Boys for 23 years, and about a decade ago, it came to me, asked Vicki, hey, does this sound like a good idea? Let's record something, because I'm not a big writer. I've written songs with a other band we have called Action Skulls, but we'll talk about that another time. And she was all in, and so it took a while because we were both traveling all the time, and pick the songs that we loved the most at this moment. There's so many more material that they wrote, but these were some favorites that some I've sang with Bill, some I've watched Barry write, and Vicki's a big fan of Councils, so she had her favorite things she wanted to sing and do, and that's how it came about. And then had a friend who's a producer, who produced the project for us, who was a longtime friend of mine. And he's the one who got it started and who's got it to this point, get it over the finish line.
Yeah.
And
he was the driving force. He kind of got us off our little conceptual, like, it'd be really cool if, and got it from, it would be really cool if, to like get in the studio and let's get started.
Yeah. So, and so one night he called me up. Beach Boys were playing in Memphis like years ago. And he says, hey man, I see you're playing in Memphis. You want to go record at Sun Records? And I laughed. I said, why? He says, well, you kept telling me about the Dead Brothers project, which we called it affectionately, the Dead Brothers project. So don't take alarm at that. And so we went in, we did a song called Is Anybody Here? And we picked that one for the first session. And because it's a very Roy Orbison song to the hill, because that's how Bill wrote it. Bill wrote in Everly Brothers Meet Hank Williams at the Beatles at the Cavern Club. That's how him and Jeffrey Hatcher, his writing partner, would always write songs. And we went in there and recorded that song with all our heroes on the wall. And it was all about the vibe and the ribbon mics and just the... it was just wonderful. And that got it started. And then it took us about 4 years to get it complete. And because they had passed away, trying to find the publishing and who bought this and the ISI, I mean, they were a mess too. They never categorized properly. They changed their name so many times. They were, you know, ASCAP or BMI, and they'd sign up again. You know, it's like, it was crazy finding the metadata on all the songs that you have to have nowadays to put something out. But that's how it started, and it's a labor of love, a love letter to my brothers, Bill and Barry Council, and it was just...
It was a joy to do, it really was. Yeah. I mean, it
very emotionally charged to do it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And plus, it was a new thing for John and me, you know, as a couple, and then as a, you know, as a musical couple, because that was not how we had been functioning in our lives together. You know, we've been married for 22 years, and because John was, we were rarely in the same time zone, much less the same, you know, zip code. So when we were, it wasn't our first instinct to like pick up guitars and start singing.
Can I get
together.
You some coffee, really? Honey?
Yeah, can you give me some water? Back. Thanks, appreciate it. you know, it was, you went out for dinner.
Shall
it was,
I fix the sprinklers?
Yeah.
You know,
can you
again.
Go, can you go do that? So it was, that was our focus, and it really wasn't music, ironically enough. But once it became that, we were determined to finish it. And thank God we had Paul Allen to like crack the whip and make sure that we did it. And to say, okay, well, you know, and then also just to complicate things more, it's when right when I decided like I want to move to New York for a year. So while you're on the road, you know, I'm going to go to New York and have fun and have a different experience. So meanwhile, now I'm flying back to Los Angeles every 12 days to, you know, to work on this record.
Because we have a studio in our home
Yes,
here.
in California. So it was sort of a strangely timed project, but obviously it all worked out exactly as it should, as things tend to do in life. And we're very proud of it and very excited for people to hear it coming up. And thank you for sharing some of the songs already.
John, I have a question. What was this like to grow up in this family where there were songwriters? Because for me, in my family, I was the big music nut, and I had siblings who were athletes, and so it was like I might as well have been building spaceships or something, right? So, yeah. So, what was that like? Like, hey, maybe there's like a new song in the house, or you know, something like that.
Bill is our Brian Wilson, my oldest brother. So that's how I refer to him these days. He taught us everything, him and Bob. And I mean, my first memories of everything is 4 years old, living in Canton, Ohio, of all places, because my dad was in the Navy and he was doing recruiting service, I guess. And I would hear Bill singing, you know. And I remember then Bob and Bill being on a talent show called Giant Tiger in Canton, Ohio. But it, you know, while I'm still writing, learning how to write my letters, which I remember, you know, practicing on paper doing that. But the music's always been around and always heard folk music, Elvis, Connie Francis, for my brother Bill. Then we moved to Rhode Island. It was a lot of, once again, country songs and folk
And folk,
songs. And then all of a sudden, like the rest of America, people my age, boomers, you know, Ed Sullivan was huge, you know. And it was Beach Boys, actually, because my brother Richard, before I ever heard the Beatles. So the right before the Beatles, I knew who the Beach Boys were because the album covers are all over the floor, the record players are playing. And then the Fab Four came on, Ed Sullivan, and that just it took the whole world for a big old ride. It still continues today. And so we went to a back room and we imitated them lip syncing the records, you know, because normally we'd set up the room for a cowboy bar fight, but you know,
That's
because we always, you know,
a
we
visual.
were fan or 50 kids, you know, guns and holsters, cowboys and Indians. But the Beatles were the influence. And I remember Barry was the first drummer. My dad was moonlighting in carpentry and he had a friend named Neil Sylvia, brought a drum set, an old Slingerland 1958 probably kit, and it just looked like magic to this kid's eyes, you know. And Barry, and it was funny, we could all just sit down and play the dang thing that night.
So
And it
that's
was
what's
just,
special. Let's just
yeah.
note that for a moment, people. This
Okay.
doesn't happen in most families. Okay, go
And so
ahead.
anyway, but that was the conception of it all. And then we needed a bass guitar. We went to the local Moss Music Center and got an old K bass that we wish we had today. It'd be invaluable, but it was just, you know, a simple thing to have. And I became the drummer. And it's just funny. My career picked me. I didn't pick it. I was so young. I wasn't 15 saying, man, I want to be a shredder. I want to be this guy, you know. So there's no ego involved. It's like more embarrassing than anything if somebody says, I really like that. It was like, you know, don't talk to me, you know, but I want you to like me anyway, you know. And I love playing, and it's still kind of that way. I had to get over that, but I don't know if I answered your question. I just go off on a bunny trail. I'm older now, so I might lose my brain here. But that's how it was in our house. It was just music all the
Constant,
time.
right?
Long rehearsals on the porch or in the back room, you know. I remember it all, and that was fun playing the bars 4 sets a night. The cops would come and raid the place. I remember the first time we played the Mutineer King. We thought it was okay, perfectly fine playing a wine cellar, but the cops didn't. So had to get
Because you're
special.
seven.
Had to get special. I was 8.
Okay, you're eight.
I was 8. My brother Barry was 9 and a half. Bob and Bill
Right, no
were
big
young
deal.
teenagers,
Yeah, it's
totally
fine.
fine in a winery,
It's fine.
in a wine bar. But my dad got special permission from the mayor for somehow, and he said, as long as they don't sit in the bar area and are drinking, and there's a room for them to go to. It was in a hotel, so we thought, well, that'll be cool. We'll go to a hotel room. But no, we were in the liquor storage room, sitting on cases of Cutty Sark, writing set lists up, you know. And I just remember all this so it's so memorable to me, you know. and sweating and the smoke in the room. And my third grade teacher would dance in front of me with her
Yeah,
husband
that's great.
on Thursdays and Friday, Mrs. Knight. I loved her, man.
You
And I've had a wild ride. I should write a book. Everybody says I should
should.
write a book because I remember everything.
You are ready, like we're recording this right now. So.
But yeah, that's how it was.
Perfectly normal family life.
Absolutely normal to
Nothing
me.
unusual here.
No.
So it's interesting because I mean this music originates right within the family, and now the two of you, it sort of stays in the family in that way because.
Honorary Council, and I was, when John was, well, 10. I don't think I discovered you till you were probably 10 or 11.
I
No,
was an older man
you
then.
were an older man. Oh, you're still an older man, by the way. That doesn't change. But
Woo!
yeah, but I was a huge Cowsills fan, and which was okay while they still had hits on the radio, and my older sister teased me about it. But it wasn't so okay, when the 70s came around and they weren't a hit band anymore. They were like this weird bubblegum band, and I was like, no, you don't understand. They are special. There's something about them. You're not getting this, people. But I took a lot of flack for being a Cowsills fan, and I'm not alone because I meet my fellow fans in this current stage, including people like our friends from the band Red Cross, who were smart enough to realize that the Cowsills were cool, and so there was this sort of undercurrent of accountability and cultural, a badge of honor that if you knew enough to know that the Cowsills were cool, then you are also cool. So I proudly ascribe to that myself personally. So and in my family, we didn't have quite the same. We were musically obsessed in that there was always top 40 radio going on in our house. And my younger siblings, as it turned out, were also very musically inclined and talented. My brother and sister Debbie were always pounding on things. Debbie played every air instrument you could imagine. We didn't have real instruments put into our hands till much later. But so it was a less realized version of the same kind of drive and desire to play music, but we weren't quite the Cowsills.
And that's
But
how
who
we
is?
did it.
But who
What
is?
did I miss? I had to go
You
to
missed a lot.
the
You missed a lot, man.
bathroom. Whee!
Putting these songs together, then recording them, maybe there were moments in singing or playing the songs where you sang a line or, thought about something, and it was like, oh, now I really know them. Like now I really know what was going on with them.
You're so funny, Jed.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through some of
A
them
couple of songs.
when I'm singing.
Yeah.
I can talk about it and I'll lose my stuff.
Yeah.
Seriously, I just, I'm a sentimental person, so it affects me.
Yeah. We have
Seriously.
vocal takes that we had to say, okay, let's just take a minute here so that John could get through the song. So, and then, yeah, I mean, I agree. And I was connected on that same level, but I definitely, one of the songs on the record, Old Timeless, is a song that Barry wrote. And it's a song that I can look at now. That one and Come to Me also, the bridge of that song, Come to Me, which you can hear because we know Barry and we know he was trying so hard to do the right thing and to be what he thought people wanted him to be. But he really, it was a guy who just wanted to play his music and just want to have his music heard. I mean, we're sitting in the kitchen of our house, and he stood in the middle of this kitchen at one point and just said, "I just want my music to get out." I just got chills. He and I remember him saying that, and he got very emotional about it. Like, Barry, it is out. It will, I was like trying to reassure him, but so we're helping with that. We're getting, he just wanted it to be okay, and it wasn't really okay for him for the most part.
Was tough.
Yeah.
They had a
So.
hard time. Both of those guys had a hard time traversing the
Oh,
world.
yeah. As talented as they still are, because
Yeah.
we still celebrate their talent.
Well, fortunately, the beauty of that is they'll live on forever. They don't, the thing they were worried about is happening. So it just, even if we didn't record the songs, they're still out there and people will find them and have, some of Barry's would not have been found because
No.
he didn't record them,
That's
but their
wonderful, too.
legacy will live on and
Yeah.
so will yours. I don't worry about it. I think I've done enough in the world, so.
You've done enough damage.
And when I'm gone, it
Yeah,
won't matter to me. So I hope you all enjoy the rest of the time here.
yeah.
Well, that's how I look at it. I just do. Can't take it with you, Jed. Or maybe you can. I don't know,
Maybe
man.
you
Well,
can.
we're gonna see. Yeah, nobody's come back and told me the end of the story yet. You know, you can, faith is a funny thing. You can believe something, but we're gonna see. That's how it rolls. I'm very respectful of everybody's views on everything, everybody, what they think about that. So.
I wonder with this too. I mean, I sort of came more recently to the family's music. It was just something like I knew the name, but I again I didn't know the music, and I thought, where's this been? like where's this been in my life? So I wonder if you maybe also see this as an opportunity that people will go back and dig a little bit deeper when they fall in love with this record.
Oh, well, maybe they will. I mean, it's not my goal. My goal is always to just keep moving forward. I don't do a lot of looking back because,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we did want to shine a light on these songs that Barry and Bill wrote, but it does sort of, as a tangent to that, may lead people back to the Cow Sills, to Barry's solo work, to all of Bill's work in Canada that he did post Cow Sills, which
Yeah.
is phenomenal. And a lot of the most of the songs we on this record that we took of Bill's canon came from that era when he was working with the Blue Shadows and the Codependents and up in Canada. But so if it leads people back to the Blue Shadows, and we're finding out
And Blue
as
Northern.
and
I
Blue,
mean,
right.
there will be a box set, Jed. There will be a, no, there will be. There has to be. I mean, we have stuff from 1964,
Oh, for the Cow
65
Sills.
with for the Cow Sills. And
Absolutely.
understand, the Cow Sills are still out there. Bob, Paul, and Susan go out as the Cow Sills. They're on the Happy Together tour. They have shows of their own. They're fabulous. They sound
They sing
great. They
great.
all sing great. No old guy vibrato or anything going on. They just sound great.
You know what we
Paul
mean.
Cowsill is an amazing
Yeah, they're
singer.
all great.
Bob,
Susan's
Susan,
world
these
class.
guys are just, and they're funny, and they're funny people, and we all just get along so well. And but they keep the Cowsill name very much alive. I mean, I've seen increases in sales because my passive income has increased. So I know somebody's doing something right out there, and it's not me because I've just been with the Beach Boys, and now I sing with the Smithereens as well, and the Vicky and
And
Vicki
John
Peterson
Cho.
and John Cowsill show. So I've been more busy since I left the Beach Boys than I ever have. So I'm tired. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Seven months of vacation.
I do. I told her that. I said, I'm
Yes.
exhausted. I just,
Oh,
I want to go on a vacation. I've never done more interviews, because
holiday.
I'm usually somebody's side guy. So I just kind
He
of
doesn't have to do
float
any
around.
work.
You have to do stuff. I'm going to the pub. It's like, not anymore. So.
Good for
No,
you.
this is fun. We're having a
We're
blast
having
with it. We
fun.
really are having a good time. We have a good time everywhere we go. If anybody's the hot head in the family, it's me here. And but she's so patient with me and just gives me the roll of the eye. And she liked me when I was young. I think that cuts me a little
It does a
slack.
lot. You're lucky.
Little forgiveness up
I give him the mom
ahead of the
book.
curve. She does give
I
me
give
the
him,
mom
he goes
book.
like, okay, Barbara.
Well, like, see, my girlfriend, my wife, and my pal, and my sister, unfortunately, sometimes, because we get into it like in that way. But we are so quick to snap back and
I'm not
laugh.
touching you. I'm not touching
Okay.
you. I'm not touching you.
Ow.
Ow.
God. Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, so we'll see how touring
Sorry.
goes and if
Yeah.
we're going to work
If we
together after
survive,
that.
if we
No,
survive
that's what people always say to us. If anything goes
it.
wrong, it's going to be in the car because we can't stand each other's driving. Although I've gotten very
Much
much
better. Oh my gosh.
better and defensive, and like,
So
because
much
I
better.
just don't want to look over my shoulder anymore. And the fact that I got a speeding ticket not that long ago makes me even behave better on the road right this moment, because I only have 18 months to get another one before I can go to traffic school and have it taken off my record.
Wow, did we veer off the road or not?
Okay, I'm
Anything?
sorry. Back to music. So what kind of music is your favorite music, Jed? And that's a serious question.
Man, I know this is going to sound like a cop out, but I love it all. So I visited my friend's record store yesterday and walked out with a Max Roach album,
Oh, excellent.
an album by the German band Faust.
Faust, I don't know
Heard of
them.
Faust,
I don't know.
but I don't like the sounds.
They were sort of like on the lower tier of the so-called krautrock rock movement.
Krautrock, got it.
Did you ever hear of the Alpenkatz?
No.
Oh man, that was a
Good.
German rock band, but they kept some of the
Totally lost
traditional
them.
German flavors to it. Oh man, Sabina Kapfinger would scream primal screams when she would do this. One of my favorite German bands out of Bavaria in Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, and then a Jim Hall and Bill Evans record. So a lot of jazz,
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go.
but I also love country music, and that's one of the things that I love about this record, because I was like, oh, this is how a country album should sound.
There you go.
Well, that's what it
Yeah.
should sound to me, because even when the Castles first started, and like those clubs that we were playing four sets a night that we shouldn't have been doing, I was singing Old Lonesome Me. I was singing Bird of Paradise by Little Jimmy Dickens. At that age, I loved that stuff. My first record was Marty Robbins' El Paso that I bought with my own
Oh, that's
money that I got
fabulous.
out of the couches, looking for change, because I think there was 59 cents. My Aunt Elle took me to Warwick Shoppers World. So that's my jam. I used to watch Dolly Parton and Porter Wagon on the TVs when we'd be on tour with the Cowsills. I love that show. I didn't know the backstory of that, because we were all in love with Dolly then. I could have cared less about Porter. And then I find out that she wrote all the songs. She did all the work. She did the heavy lifting, and
Yeah,
he
baby.
just kind of brought her on to make
To
him
be the
better,
girl singer, yeah.
but anyway.
Do you ever see the Marty Robbins Spotlight, the show that he had, the TV show that he had?
Back then,
No,
yeah.
I don't remember that one, but I wasn't a country
Yeah.
guy.
And I'd watch Hee Haw, Buck
Yeah.
Owens,
Oh, yeah.
Roy Clark. I mean, it was a corny show, but man, the players on that
Players
thing
were
was
phenomenal.
incredible.
I couldn't get past the corn, but
Oh, I could get past the corn, because I knew they were going to pick it in a grinning, and I knew what they were going to do. And Roy Clark, for all people who say, oh, I can't stand him, the faces he makes, he
An incredible player.
incredible player. All those cats were, man.
Nashville
You
cats.
know, we had we got Buddy Emmons to play pedal steel on a song on a called "Cheating on Me" on that on my side album. That was the coolest thing to have him come. We were actually looking for Red Rhodes, who another famous pedal steel player. But they said, no, we don't. Red's not Red's booked, but we can give you Buddy Emmons. And we went,
Oh, yeah.
okay, we'll take Buddy. Oh my God, that was so awesome. He played on a few songs. I wish I could find the demos we did, Grains of Sand, that my mom did, and that Buddy played on
Yeah,
that
work on
too.
that.
Oh man, it impossible to find. Can't find them.
Nothing's
Anyway,
possible.
tired. No, tired.
I know I need to let you go here in a second, but how long have you been together now? 20, how many years?
22
22
years, baby.
years,
22
October
years. Wow.
24th.
Well, we've been married that long. I've known him since 1978,
Yeah.
but I patiently waited for him to go through two marriages before I got into
Oh man, that's
the
another
arena.
story. Just our
That's a whole
dating
nother
and our
book.
first
That's a
whole
whole
thing.
nother
Anyway,
book.
don't you have something
Don't
to
touch.
make me
Don't you have Smitty? Don't you have Smitty
to eat?
to talk to? Let me
Anyway,
steal it. Steal it.
this is brother and sister now.
You've been listening to a conversation with Vicki Peterson and John Council. Their album Long After the Fire is out everywhere April 18th. You can learn more about them via their official website, VickiPetersonandJohnCouncil.com. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson. You can find out more about this podcast, including past episodes, at the KMUW website, kmuw.org. We do welcome your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.